Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Constant Cardona.
Afternoon, Brother Zoma. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
Lovely. Been doing well, man. Thank you so much for asking. Now, we're talking about comparison and competition among siblings and sibling rivalry, where siblings compete, argue, and vie for parental attention is common in nearly every family, really. It can manifest... It can manifest in many ways, including verbal disputes, physical fights, jealousy, resentment, etc. And while a certain level of rivalry is normal, prolonged or intense conflict can actually affect the family dynamics and the children's well-being. So we want to talk about this today and find out how can families deal with comparison and competition among the siblings in the family. Now, Constance...
Yeah, very sensitive one.
Yeah, very sensitive one indeed. What creates the spirit of competition, actually, and comparison between siblings in the first place?
Yeah, first of all, before I answer your question, I come from a family with 7 siblings. And with two step sisters and one step brother. And you know what I mean? It's something that I have experienced. As I answer. Yes. So what I have noticed through experience is personality differences. Some are extroverts, some are introverts. At times, the major one, like in our case, external factor, like divorce, it also contributed, and having limited resources, it creates somehow the competition between us as sisters and brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a built-in thing within families, or does family, that is parents or caregivers, contribute to it maybe at the earlier stages?
I would think yes, no. Why am I saying yes for built-in? There is the younger child syndrome, the firstborn syndrome, because you are the firstborn, then you have to set an example. And also the depending one, the powerful one, which is the golden child syndrome, that one. Yeah, it contributes to an inbuilt.
Yeah, man. Would you say competition is necessarily a negative thing among siblings?
Not at all. It depends with the level, because Paul speaks of Christian race. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, because we should run to win. There is healthy competition which refines us, which sharpens us. It's good at times.
But of course, depending that it must be kept in check, not so.
Yes, because it becomes toxic when it fosters jealousy, dishonesty, and resentments, as you said.
Yeah.
There is an African proverb which says, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yeah.
If you want to go faster, then we have to go together.
Yes.
So that one creates teamwork, and it's also constructive. So we have healthy and unhealthy competition.
Now, because we know that parents can sometimes be involved in creating that environment of a rivalry among siblings, how can they then, the parents, acknowledge one sibling's strength without necessarily criticizing or discouraging the other?
Yeah, that's a good one as well, because at times you hear the parents saying, why can't you be more like your brother? It fuels competition. That statement alone. So parents out there, please, we need to have these 4 steps that I have put together. We need to celebrate each child individuality. We also need to use inclusive praise so that we avoid favoritism, encourage growth without comparison, and foster teamwork and appreciation. That can work.
Actually can indeed work. Now, how can families then foster an environment where all siblings are supportive of each other instead of competing with each other, especially when they have similar interests, like, you know, the story of Venus and Serena Williams, where both of them are tennis superstars. Of course, there can only be one winner. So how do families, parents foster that environment where they are actually supportive of each other?
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question indeed. Mm. So they need to teach children or their siblings that success is not a limited resource. Mm.
Mm.
And it doesn't mean when there is someone winning, the other one is a failure.
True.
So when Paul talks of a marathon, everyone who finishes gets the prize. That's the good thing about it.
Mm.
So just aim to finish. And the parents also need to assign tasks that require siblings to work together.
Mm, mm.
It promotes also teamwork, and also it promotes conflict resolution. They also need to teach siblings forgiveness.
Yeah.
I've got an example of where I can see families can foster siblings to support each other.
Mm.
There is a story of Zelophehad. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 1 to 11,
mm.
they had a collective voice together. They had no brother, only sisters, and they were not supposed to inherit anything, but they united to claim inheritance, and their voices were heard by
mm.
Moses.
Mm.
So we need that in families so that things can be done together. And I think it did not start only on the inheritance. They have been working together. So that can help much, much in the families.
Very
unlike,
true.
Unlike the older brother, the prodigal son,
mm-hmm.
Luke 15, where we thought he is the better one, but mm. he was the worst. So we need that as well, to teach our children forgiveness. And they have different personalities, and they should live with that. We are not same. We are different, but all important together.
Yes,
yeah.
I think that's a very powerful point you made there. Now, how do children, the siblings, learn to celebrate their differences and make the best of their individual strengths and gifts?
A good one as well. And I cannot answer this without mentioning John chapter 4:20, which speaks of love. How can you love God whilst you're not loving each other as siblings?
Mm.
So I think the most important one, the most ingredient we need so that they can celebrate their difference, they should be love, because love covers a multiple of things.
Mm.
So they should be instilling on confidence on each sibling, because Jeremiah 29:11 says that we are peculiar, we are chosen, and the plans for God is not to harm us, mm. all of us. And Psalm chapter 139:14 says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm, mm,
so in your own difference, we have different strengths, we have different gifts, and we should also understand our different spiritual gifts.
Mm.
I have made a recipe on this one. I've made a recipe so
yeah.
that we can understand our strengths and our gifts.
Mm,
and people confuse the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts.
Mm.
We ought to have fruits of the Spirit, all of us, all of them. But the gifts are different. Some are teachers, some are not preachers. So I've got a recipe for our listeners today. So to celebrate our differences and to acknowledge our strength and gifts, we need 1 cup of self-awareness. You need to understand yourself better.
Mm.
We also need 2 teaspoons of gratitude.
Mm.
We need to cultivate that in our lives, just to thank you and appreciate. And 1 teaspoon of encouragement is needed, and 1/2 cup of empathy, and 1 sprinkle of faith,
yeah.
and 1 dash of community support that can make a difference. As well, it will help us in our emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I get. I think it can help if you use that recipe. Yeah.
Yes, yes. It's a fantastic recipe indeed. Man, Constance, I must thank you so, so much for your time. But before you go, if perchance there's a sibling that may have a little bit of a lower self-esteem, how can that person be picked up and, to come to a better self-esteem? Is it the sibling's responsibility? Should the parents do that? What happens?
Yes. One thing that we also need to note is to discern. At times, you won't see that this child is low self-esteem. So we need to pray for discernment. That's a good thing that we ought to do. And when we identify these kids that maybe there was favoritism in the family and feel left out and low self-esteem, then we talk life to them that in life there are seas of life which goes with choices and chances and changes. So they need to understand that that's what happens in life. Look at Mary and Martha. Look at Cain and Abel. Yeah. Look at Esau and Jacob.
Mm.
So we'll use those stories to motivate them so that they know that they are special. I like the story of Jacob and Esau. It's a later stage. They reunited.
Mm.
So in those cases that somebody's feeling low because of maybe pressure from family, they can be fueled when we diffuse that rivalry with these stories, Genesis 25, the story of Esau and Jacob.
Mm.
I think it can uplift them, of which we know the story of Cain and Abel as well. Someone gifted in another, someone gifted in another. And in the end, when they had unchecked jealousy, it led to something that is not nice.
Mm.
So also on a mental health, low self-esteem also is not good when we talk deeply on our mental health as well.
Mm.
Yes, because there's power in what we say to ourselves. In fact, Job 3:25 says that what I was afraid of is what happened to him.
Mm.
So we encourage them to stay positive and navigate through. It's important on their mental health as well.
Indeed. Well,
yes.
I must thank you so much for coming through, Constance.
Lisa,
and always a pleasure having these conversations. Thank you so much for your
Thanks
time.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
See you next time. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.